opinions expressed on this podcast do not necessarily reflect those of the management of Louisville.am and Veritas New Media, a Louisville.am production.
Robbing and shooting and raping and killing, bloody murder molesting, running airplanes into buildings. Every time I turn around, something else is going wrong. Yeah, tell me, what the hell is going on?
Welcome to the Rusty Satellite Show with your host, Rick Redding. The show airs every week exclusively here on the Louisville.am podcast network. Rick's ready to start ranting and raving about his hometown right now. So here's Rick.
We are back again on the Rusty Satellite Show, home of the most interesting people in the Ville. This is your host, Rick Redding. I am back from vacation. I managed to take a week's vacation without missing a beat on this show or the other show that I do, the Jeffersontown Chamber podcast. And managed to squeeze in a trip to Phoenix, Arizona with Paula. And we she had a conference there. I tagged along, and we enjoyed a great experience after the conference. And we drove up from Phoenix to a place called Prescott, Arizona. And that was a lot of fun. I tell you, we stayed in an Airbnb there. And later on in this show, I'm going to be talking about Airbnb a little bit with my good friend Dr. John Gilderbloom, and the things that are going on here in Louisville concerning Airbnb. It's always interesting to go to another city and see how things are going there. And speaking of that, I wrote a little piece about this. In Phoenix, they're still dealing with the Uber and Lyft pickups at the airport. They're still outlawed there, but there's a fight going. The governor of Arizona is involved in trying to get that changed there, because you know, the terrible thing about it is the cabbies there. Well, we were staying in a hotel that was 3 miles from the airport. And you know what that cab ride cost? 3 miles? It was $16. They had a $16 minimum on a cab ride out of the airport. And that's the kind of robbery that needs to be challenged with competition. And certainly they need some Uber and Lyft out there at the airport. We did use Uber around Phoenix, but you can't get a ride from the airport there. So anyway, that was my story from my vacation. But I'm back here, and there is a lot going on in Louisville. We're 3 weeks. Saturday will be 3 weeks till the Derby. And so I got a sort of Derby-oriented show here today. It's really great. In the second part of the show, I'm going to go ahead and tell you about him now because I don't have another chance to. The guest is Bill Doolittle, and he is a Derby expert, an aficionado, has been to every Derby, I think he said, since 1965 or 6, something like that. He has predicted the last 4 winners in a row, and he gave me a little bit of a hunch bet for this year's Derby, even though it's more than three weeks out. Bill Wright, you can see Bill's columns in Leo Weekly, and he has just come out with this great book called The Kentucky Derby, the Kentucky Derby book, and it has this great technology in it that you can watch video clips of past derbies, etc. It's all part of a publishing outfit called Shercliffe Publishing. Very interesting. Was fortunate enough to get a copy of the book, and it's really great. It's really great. It's a great coffee table book, a great gift for your Kentucky Derby guest. Anybody that's interested in every aspect of the Derby would love to have this book. So I'll have Bill Doolittle coming up after the news segment of the show. But my first guest is Chasta Feller, and she is with Mint Julep Tours, and she has the most wonderful title in the world. She is a fun enthusiast. It says so right there on her business card, and she is here to talk to me about about her interesting background as a tour guide and as the leading fun person over there at Mint Julep Tours. You may remember about a year ago, I had Sean Higgins, the founder of Mint Julep Tours, on the show, and Chasta is certainly... Well, I won't compare it to Sean, but it was an entertaining interview that I had with her. And before we get to the interview with Chasta, I want to just tell you real quick about the Eye Care Institute. I am lined up and ready to schedule my LASIK surgery I went through all the prep work and found out that I was a great candidate for LASIK. So I'm get rid of these contacts and be able to see better. I'm very excited about it. And they can help you too. The number over there is 502-589-1500. That's 589-1500 for the Eye Care Institute. They have the best technology, the latest information you can have about taking care of your eyes. So that's at the Eye Care Institute. All right, so let's get on with the show. The first of our most interesting people in the Ville this week is Chasta Farrell.
As a first-time mom, I have to admit, I really didn't know what to expect. But the people at Passport did. Besides covering me and my baby for maternity care and checkups, they offered me extra rewards for things I really needed, like gift cards so I could buy a crib or car seat, and gift cards for groceries and gas. All I had to do to earn these rewards was join their Mommy Steps program for new moms and keep my doctor's appointments, things I was going to do anyway. When they say, we take the time to care, they really mean it. That's why I choose Passport.
Why will you choose Passport? Call 1-800-578-0603. That's 1-800-578-0603. And choose Passport. 1-800-578-0603. Passport Health Plan. We take the time to care.
All right, today I'm at Mint Julep Tours. It must be Derby season, and I'm with someone. My first question for you, Chasta Feller, is what does a fun enthusiast do?
The question you should be asking is, what does the fun enthusiast not do? So I love to have my hands in a little bit of everything, especially, you know, this time of year. We have so many amazing experiences to showcase to the public for those traveling into the area, those who are hosting folks here that are local. So we're definitely gearing up. You know, our busy season is really March through November. And then, of course, you know, we still are busy throughout, you know, the winter months and stuff. But we're definitely gearing up for spring and just a few weeks up until Derby. So kind of finalizing all of those experiences and then looking forward to the rest of the summer.
Yeah. Well, it sounds fun. I always like to ask my Derby related guest, what are you going to be doing Derby Day?
Derby Day, I will most definitely be at the track. I love the ponies. I love gambling. So all the hard work leading up until that day, that's the one day that I will get to be able to play as well. So.
Okay, so not working, but playing.
Yes, that's the one day that week I will not be working. Every other day, even the following Sunday, I will be on site working. So,
all right, well, great. Well, you were telling me, you know, Mint Julep Tours is certainly a great business story here in town, and you have been here 3.5 years. You said, but before that, you were doing some interesting stuff. Tell me about that.
Yeah, absolutely. So I've been in tourism about 7.5 years now. Before moving back and joining Mint Julep 3.5 years ago, I was actually up in Northern California. I went from wine country to bourbon country. I worked for an adventure travel company, which was based out of Melbourne, Australia. A North American office was up there in Northern California. And yeah, I led trips all over the U.S. and Canada for over 4 years, just back-to-back trips. All over land. I'd be with a group of no more than 13 people for anywhere from 1 week to 8 weeks. And we would road trip it all throughout major cities, national parks, hiking, mountain biking, rock climbing, rafting, you name it.
Wow, so, I want to go.
Come on, let's go. International Airport, there we go, SDF.
Well, that's really fun. And you have some Kentucky roots, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I grew up in and around the area. I went to school over in southern Indiana. Went to college in Indiana. Family still in kind of this whole area, so they were happy to have me back as well. And to be able to move back into this area and be a part of the tourism boom, the bourbon boom, and the local thriving community here, I couldn't be happier. It's definitely what is going to be keeping me in the bluegrass.
Okay, so you're here for a while, but you're not here for a while, if you know what I mean. There's been, you know, certainly it's been reported Mint Julep Tours is moving to a great new space. Tell me about that. When's it coming? How big is your office?
Oh, it's massive. Yeah, we're definitely excited for the new space. We'll be moving in, you know, after Derby time, get all of that under our belt. We're very excited to be moving into the Butcher Down neighborhood and, you know, being a part of that thriving local district as well. So we'll be there right at the corner of Frankfort Avenue and Melwood across from Apocalypse Brewery, and looking forward to being able to host folks and have a little bit more presence in the city and, like I said, in the Butchertown neighborhood.
Okay, because you guys are growing.
I mean, you have how many vehicles you have?
Yeah, we have small Escalades on up to larger coach buses, and we have 10 in our fleet now. We'll definitely be kind of expanding that at some point too. We are building some new garages as well at our new home, too, that we're very excited about. We know we have about 25 to 30 drivers and tour leaders on our staff, and we have about 11 full time here in the office. So we've definitely grown and are continuing to grow, and couldn't be more excited about it.
Okay, well, it sounds like something I want to do. Now I saw a list of a lot of things coming up around here. So I guess you're appealing mainly to Derby visitors. I mean, people that are going on your tours at Derby time, are they, how would you characterize them?
So a lot of them are out-of-towners. People come in to do Derby right, and they want to be able to not just go to Churchill Downs and experience the track and the horse racing aspect, but they also want to get the culture and a taste of the bluegrass. So we want to be able to have experiences. So for those people coming in Wednesday, Thursday, also staying maybe a couple of days, Sunday, Monday, we want to be able to showcase, of course, bourbon, but also the horse industry. Those are two, big things that Kentucky's known for that you can't really experience anywhere else in the world that you can here in the bluegrass. So we definitely, aside from our Derby Week tours, we do those on Wednesdays, Thursdays, Fridays, and Sundays of Derby Week. Of course, no touring on Derby Day, mainly all transportation. The public tours that we offer, those all depart via the Galt House Hotel. They're a full day. And then, of course, aside from those, we always do our custom experiences, too. So if there are, groups that want to be in a private vehicle and have their day completely customized, whether that's a full day out in bourbon country, horse country, maybe a culinary component, we completely personalize those experiences for the group can dance to the beat of their own drum.
Okay. Well, give me an idea of the volume. I don't know how big this business is, but it seems like I've seen your advertising material. There's a lot of different tours going on. How many people you think go through Mint Julep tours?
Okay, now just for Derby, it's well over 500 just in that week tour, whether it's on the public or custom in. And we're really excited to add to our tour portfolio this year our exclusive Derby Eve Distilled event at Buffalo Trace. That was the first kind of evening party that we've kind of coordinated, and we've had a great response. So we're really looking forward to hosting that. And that was more of a after-hours tour experience, private at a distillery to where we're actually doing
Derby
a
Eve?
Derby Eve, yes. Wow. So, because a lot of people are coming in for multiple, they've been here before, they've done Derby, maybe they're coming in some different people, and a lot of folks don't want to do two full days at the track, so we wanted to be able to have kind of an off-the-beaten-track, true rustic Kentucky experience at a distillery after hours, something that is kind of, can't really have access to. Do a bourbon-inspired dinner, three courses, bluegrass music on the porch, cigars. But then, they'll get back into the city about 10 p.m. so they can still tear up the town Derby Eve as well. Yes.
Okay, so you're not having celebrities and all that?
No, this is all for, just everybody who wants to come in and enjoy what we have to offer and what the state has to offer. Like I said, with the volume, Derby definitely is huge for us. However, year round, we have 18 to 20 tours going out, just even on a Friday or Saturday. And like I said earlier, even year round outside of Derby, Derby's a little bit of a different beast, but year round with our tours, we do offer our public bourbon tours on Thursdays, Fridays, and Saturdays with guaranteed departures. Everything else that we do 7 days a week is completely customized. So once we kind of get a feel for what the group wants to experience with the custom, then we will do all the planning, reservations, coordination. So when we pick those guests up at their desired location day of, everything is preset, ready to rock and roll. No one has any responsibilities but to have an amazing day. Okay. And then, of course, they'll be with one of our educated tour leaders throughout the duration of the day. So it's a, really great experience where they get the fun, knowledge that you wouldn't get if you,
Right. Well, you touched on something I was kind of curious about because, I'm wondering about the tour guides. You used to be one, right?
Yes.
So where do you get your training? How do you find people who are good at tour guides?
So we have an amazing staff, and we have some people that have been with us even around, you know, when Sean and Lisa originally started the company 8 years ago. We really don't see a whole lot of turnover either. It's a very tight-knit group of folks that have done different things in their life and not really come from a tourism background, that just, you know, have that passion and that drive to showcase their state and bourbon and have a great time while you're at it. And really being able to connect with people as well and, you know, fill out the group and to really enhance that experience. So yeah, we have all different folks from all over the place. We do a several week training for the tour leaders with all kinds of different information, and we want to give them the tools that they need and ongoing tools so they can, you know, be the best that they can, you know, all the time. So we do have some tenure tour leaders that will do the training, you know, take them out, you know, show them all the ropes, what to do, what not to do, and then, you know, provide them.
But
with
don't
the most.
I would guess that, you know, you almost have to have some inherent knowledge or like having grown up here and lived with, you know, there's certain things that, you know, you can't learn in a 2 week training, right?
That is true. And though, and it's the passionate people that want that. I mean, there are some people that love to read, that love to obtain information, that want to go out and go to these different places and new restaurants that open up, new things that are going on. And there are some people that just want to obtain that information and then convey it to other people. I'm one of those. So for me, I'm a sponge. Everything that I do, if I don't know something, I want to know. So then I'm going to find out about it. So I think it's just those type of people that enjoy obtaining information, keeping up with your knowledge, and then also wanting to be with a group of strangers to be able to give them that experience. And for me, my favorite thing is strangers to friends, to where I can be with a group in the morning. Nobody knows each other, and then by the end of the day, everybody's swapping numbers, swapping, you know, pictures and everything else. It's really creating an experience, you know, not just about, you know, having a great day or being out of the bourbon trail drinking. It's really sharing information and your love and the passion for, you know, who you are and what you do, and being able to have a company that, you know, backs you up as well and still has that professional drive and everything else. But you know, our knowledge is our value too, and being able to convey that to our guests traveling here, there's really nothing better than that.
Sure. So it's got to be some like strange requests you've had from
I would say, now me personally, I had a guest call in and they wanted to do a ham tour in Kentucky. And I would say I'm pretty well versed on a lot of things. I feel like I'm in the know about a lot of things. And that was one to where I literally had to say, wow, I've never been asked about a ham tour. And I have no idea if there is one in the, throughout the state. So, of course, what do? I start Googling, researching, and this, that, and the other. And, you know, at first I was like, well, I can put together some really awesome local restaurants that are farm to table that kind of source out, and we can do some things like that. So, you know, definitely.
So the answer is always yes, right?
Answer is always yes. There's, you know, fake it till you make it. You can definitely create something. It's, you know, it's one of those things to where if it's something that you don't know, the only way that you're going to know is if you do, you know, research and find out about it and, you know, take that responsibility on your own to be the best that you can be. And then that's going to give the best experience to those that you're around. So.
All right. Well, thank you very much. That's about all the time we have, Jasta, but very entertaining. And I guess you and I are now, you know, we're buddies because we didn't know each other before.
Exactly. There we go. Strangers are friends. Now we need to get you out on the tour.
And we are back on the Rusty Satellite Show. Thank you for continuing to listen to this show about the most interesting people in the Ville. I want to tell you, before we get to our next segment, I want to talk about our sponsor, which is Ballantine Chocolate Whiskey. I love that stuff. Mark your calendar right now for May 18th out at the Third Turn Brewery in J-Town. We're going to have a big special event, the second ever Cocktails with Champions, sponsored by Ballantine Whiskey. It's going to be great. There may even be a Ballantine Chocolate Whiskey slushy. It makes me thirsty just thinking about it. So Ballantine Whiskey, you can find it in a lot of liquor stores around town and in a certain number of places. You can order it by the drink. So thanks to Ballantine Whiskey for sponsoring this show. And next up is, you know, if you listen to any of the previous 144 episodes of the Rusty Satellite Show, you know that I like to take the middle of the show and talk about some of the news and events in our town that are interesting and important to me. And today I've got a little special move away from the format because I have a special guest in the studio right now with me, Dr. John Gilderblum. who is a professor at the University of Louisville and is very involved in a story that I'm just, it sort of ticks me off. I guess it ticks you off too, John. It's the story this week on Monday. The Airbnb was the topic of a hearing at the BOZA, the Zoning Adjustment Board, and it was a, as I understand it, like a 6-hour session where a lot of people spoke, and I'm not sure anything was really decided upon, but both John and I are owners of Airbnb properties, and John, welcome to the show, first of all.
Oh, it's fantastic to be here. Thank you,
Rick. And I appreciate it, because I was out of town, I didn't get to go to that Airbnb thing, and I understand you were there, and you spoke, and sort of summarized the whole thing for me.
Well, when I spoke, it was wild applause.
Of course.
I mean, it was standing ovation. The middle class is being stacked badly in America the past 10 years, and there's over 1,000 owners of Airbnb where they might rent it out for Derby, or they might rent it out for the PGA, or they might rent it out to pay off their mortgage if it's a retired couple or someone on disability. We all heard that at the meeting. Or young people wanting to take over an abandoned house, and they got an upstairs apartment and they're fixing it up. It was very moving in terms of the testimony and so on. And in fact, I argued that the gems that you see on the block or on the neighborhood are these Airbnbs. It's a great way to finance improvements and so on. And the money stays in the neighborhood, in Louisville, and so on. And it's a great thing, and I can't think of a better thing that's happening in terms of these historic preservation things. What shocked me, though, was the opposition. Here you had Metro Housing Coalition, so-called Metro Housing Coalition, not upset about 1,000 housing units being demolished, and then claiming that us Airbnbers who rent out a room or rent up a basement or a garage apartment, oh, we're evil and we're creating a housing crisis, which was ridiculous and disappointing, very disappointing.
Well, that does sound ridiculous. I mean, if you really think about it, I wonder who Airbnb is hurting. Obviously, it has existed for several years. Several people are using it. No one seems to be hurt. It seems like a solution chasing a problem that doesn't exist.
Exactly. I mean,
and why do these dang government types insist on putting in regulations and things when things are, it's self-regulated is basically what it is with the Airbnb properties.
There's more regulation of an Airbnb. As you know, you have to put in a carbon detector. You have to put a smoke alarm in there. They back you up with $1 million worth of insurance. It's more up to code than anything. In fact, the evidence is there's no evidence that Airbnb things are brought up to code. And meanwhile, you have, believe it or not, right now, 100,000 units are cited every year, and 10,000 are cited for fines, according to Dr. Jim Mims, my good friend who's departing there. Airbnb is a jewel, a gem that makes neighborhoods better. You get good people coming in and so on. And then some of the other testimony was ridiculous, you know, like somehow these.
Well, it went on for 6 hours. Some of it had to be ridiculous. I mean, you probably only went on for two.
I'm saying that, you know, it's a shared economy, and it's the same people that tried to break, you know, stop Uber, same people that were against conversion to two-way streets. They're against, you know, and this is a great thing that's happening. And most of it's centered in historic properties. It's kind of like a reward after our wonderful tax assessor, Tony Lindbauer, appropriately raised the taxes. This is another way to beat the man, you know, and get your money back and so on. You know, you could rent out your place for a weekend in the Highlands, and you'd have enough to pay for those additional taxes. And I think the other thing that they're calling for is, you know, federal law says that you can rent out your place for 14 days or less, according to the New York Times, and not pay any taxes. You don't need any tax. You don't need to declare it or anything like that. But here, all of a sudden, we have the police coming in and saying, you got to declare if you rent it out for one day or something like that.
Well, I know it's ridiculous. You know, just the fact that the government, you know, it just can't leave alone something that's working. It's like they don't like the, you know, there's people who don't like Uber and Lyft. There's people don't, you know, next thing it's going to be, you know, you can't have a yard sale, right? Because, you know, there's retailers not getting their piece of the pie, right?
That's what they do in France. You'll never see a yard sale or a flea market in France. You know, they just don't want the competition. And, you know, a lot of this is driven by the hotels. And mostly, unfortunately, a lot of my friends who are on the liberals who are historic preservationists, they don't get it. They're, you know, they say save the bed and breakfast place, and they have a whole lot of rules and so on. And that really disappoints me.
In summary, as I understand it, the Metro Council has put out a thing, a proposal, which we're all going to have to register and get inspections and pay fees and all that stuff. And, you know, it all comes down to reaching into your pocket, I guess.
Exactly.
So, unfortunately, it looks like that's going to move forward. It's not in place yet. I understand June 1st is the date that the Metro Council regulation. Is anything changed in terms of that based on the meeting the other night with the zoning board?
Yeah, they've opened it up, and they're challenging those things. And you know, it's we have a couple Metro Council members like Tom Owen and so on who are saying we don't need to do this and so on. It's very. You know, it turns out that one of the testimonies, we're ambassadors to the city. We mm-hmm. give a better time than, say, the downtown Marriott or the Holiday Inn or something like that. You're in a safer neighborhood.
Well, I think the thing is there's room for both. There's not – most people that stay at my place have dogs or something. They can't stay at the Hyatt, or they have little kids. They just want a yard. They want something different than the hotel experience, and it ought to be available to them, and just like – anything else, more choices, right?
Exactly, and this is what makes a great city. You know, I've stayed in a houseboat in Amsterdam. I've stayed in a treehouse in San Francisco. I stayed in Leroy Jones's apartment in New York City in Manhattan. I mean,
and you should have seen the mountaintop condo in Prescott, Arizona. I just stayed in last week, so that's all great. I do want to get to one other topic with you. You mentioned the New York Times, and I was shocked to hear this story. You told me that the lifespan of the average Louisvillian is like last in the entire country.
Exactly.
How can that be?
Well, the New York Times really didn't explore it. They sort of blame black people and their culture. And the fact is that our study is showing a 13-year difference between people who live near the Rubber Town factories over by 44th Street versus, say, Prospect. There's a 13-year difference. And that's from the mayor's office.
Wow.
Our difference is 10 years. But we're finding increasingly that the reason why we have such a short lifespan in Louisville is where you live. And if you live near pollution, you get it. We also are one of the most polluted states in the country. We're number two. And
not to mention we like to drink and smoke and
not
exercise.
That has something to do with it as well. But you look pretty fit yourself, Rick, so it looks like you're going to be
I'm going to be at the top end of
Eat
that.
Eat your vegetables, moderate your drinking. But make sure, what is that slushy rum you're talking about?
Yeah, the bourbon, chocolate whiskey.
Yeah, that's the exception.
Whiskey.
We make that an exception. Drink that.
We could all, some of us could all drink less, I guess. But John, and you are going to have, as we wrap it up here, you're going to have a op-ed piece in the New York Times. Isn't that a big deal?
You know, I published in every major newspaper now in the country on my bucket list with the New York Times, so I got a half a deal. Which is they went over my letter for 3 days, and it's going to be published in the New York Times and so on, right next to the editorial page. So it's going to be big time, you know. And last time I published in the Wall Street Journal, it was great because Rush Limbaugh denounced it and stamped up and down and called me a communist and everything like that. And you know what it was all about was we need a modicum of regulation in our cities for housing and homeless people.
Well, it's funny, you know, in politics, gosh, I'll go out of town and it's announced that Trump is coming to town again.
For
all things an NRA show. So I guess you and I won't be attending that one.
I've been to Trump's headquarters and I met him. In the good old days when he was looking for money, he went to his staff went with me to Cuba. Oh. And then I came back, and they said the old man wanted to see me, the grumpy old man who's was right next to the elevator shaft. And it was the most bizarre office I've ever seen. I mean, he was literally, it looked like the janitor's office or something like that, but there he was screaming and barking and everything like that.
Always good for a good story, John Gilderblum. Thank you for sharing the news segment with me this week on the Rusty Satellite Show. And the show will be back with another guest right after this.
No matter how young and healthy you are, life can be full of unpleasant surprises. And without health insurance, even a short hospital stay could set you back thousands of dollars. If you qualify for expanded Medicaid, you can get coverage through Passport Health Plan. Find out if you qualify. Call 855-459-6328 or go online at kynect.ky.gov. Choose Passport, the plan that takes the time to care.
Welcome to the studio, Bill Doolittle. I guess I should introduce you as an expert on the Kentucky Derby.
Well, thanks, Rick. That's great. I put a sign on my house.
There you go. The home of the Derby. Well, let's get into that right off the bat. You have the unique distinction of picking the Derby winner 4 years in a row.
Yeah, and it's, you know, a lot of people say it's not hard. You know, favorites have won 3 years in a row.
Okay. Who's not long shot? I can't
not
remember.
Not everybody picked them, but I did get all them right. But the one that really got me off and rolling was I'll Have Another.
Oh, yeah.
And he paid, you know, he was a $30 horse. And,
okay.
You know, I had him since February, and I loved him, and I didn't have any problem pulling the trigger on him.
Well, that's very interesting. I know you didn't have Mind That Bird, right?
No.
Nobody
I did not.
Had. Nobody.
Proud to say I didn't have him.
People rolling dice and betting the numbers had that one. But very interesting. And you've written stories and predicted the winner, I guess, in Leo, right?
Yeah, in Leo. And you know, on talking to people on the street, you know,
okay.
Who do you like?
All right. Well, I pick by names, you know, and I used to memorize the Derby winners. I had a lot of money on Lily T. You remember that?
Yeah.
That's
one you got and I got wrong.
Because you were probably betting Pat Day every year and said, he's not going to win this time, right? But, all right, so let's talk about who you like this year. I see one related. You always look for something, like, related to you in a name, like Exaggerator looks like a good choice.
Really like him. He won his last start in the Santa Anita Derby, and he swooped the field from last to first in the mud. He was going so fast around the turn for home that his feet slipped out from under him. You know, he was, like, sliding, like one of those speed skaters going around the – you know, real fast.
And still won.
Oh, yeah. Well, he won easy, and he just flew by him. It was muddy, and a lot of people think that he can't win except it's mud. But, okay. You know, I liked him all over the place. And he's ridden by, just to end it, he's ridden by Keith DeSormo, who's won a Derby 3 times. So a fourth for him would be right there.
So are you ready to predict your Derby winner yet? Or
no.
Because you've got a whole ritual over there at the track, right?
Yeah, I do. And what I like to do is I don't keep a list. I don't rank them 1 through 10. I look for the one I like.
Mm-hmm.
And when it's like this year and I don't have one, then I'm still searching. I'm going to be there. It'll come down to Derby week. Or a week before the Derby, but they'll all work over the track. Mm-hmm. And I'll see who's really looks good on the track. You know, I think there's about 6 or 7 who can win the Derby here.
Okay. So it's still okay if we wait until, you know, like the day before to pick our winner.
I think you can wait till you walk up to the window. I switched one time and got it right. The line was so long in the infield that by the time I got to the window, I had a new horse.
Oh, there you go. Okay. Well, let's get into a little bit about this project of yours, because I'm fascinated by it. I spent some of my time on vacation looking at this new book, The Kentucky Derby, and not an original title, but still, it's a hefty, interesting, great photos, great reading in this book. How did it all come together?
I've done a book like this. It's a coffee table size book with a lot of great photography. The Derby lends itself to that. I'm real friendly with many of the top photographers. I'd done one like that in 1998 and always kind of wanted to do it again, and kind of had it needed a nudge. And Jim Shercliffe, who's an investment guy here in town, decided he wanted to bankroll a book and asked me if I'd ever want to do it.
I said, there you go.
You know, let's do it.
But the cool thing about this that stands out, I guess all of us, a lot of us, if we read books, we have our phone right beside us and all this. And this is perfect for that because of this great technology. Now, tell me about the technology.
I had thought for a long time that, you know, I know books are popular. they're not really, you know, people say books are out, but they're not. They're doing real well. It's just, so is video. And I always thought that you could get video married into books somehow, and we figured out how to do it. Some guys in Portland, Oregon, Carpe Diem, he had gone to U of L Business School. He works with a guy that has the Digimarc Corporation, and you know what they do? They put hidden code on $100 bills that the reader can read, but you know, you can't see. And we did that with these images, so you can't see the watermark that's in there.
I see.
But your phone can read it and play. So if you're like, if there's a picture of Calvin Burrell, you know, you can see him win the 2009 Kentucky Derby.
Yeah, I was just playing with it a little bit before you got here, and it is very cool. I mean, I think I've seen something like it in like Esquire magazine, but they did it. Yeah, the technology is great, and you know, to have all this stuff at your fingertips, I think it's a really cool concept. I'm sure you're going to sell a lot of them. This company, Mr. Shercliffe, he's got a whole company. You all got some projects in the works, right?
We do. I think the next one we want to do, be pretty popular around here, is a Louisville basketball book. And once again, like the Derby, I think it's, you know, the photography will be good, but the video, if we can get it rights to it and all, it really lends itself, just like the Derby. There's something that there is a lot of great visuals for, and a lot of great action. So some things don't have that, but those sports things do. I think music things do too.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. Well, like U of L basketball. Now, you know, we won't make the obligatory joke about the number of prostitutes in this new book, but the idea there's three. There's I mean, there's a rich history in Louisville. There's a lot of books about Louisville basketball, and how will this one you're working on now, you know, stand out? I guess other than the technology.
One way is that I'm not going to write it. Okay. I'm gonna edit it, and I've asked Rick Bozich and Eric Crawford to write it. I think they're right now the number one and two writers in all of college basketball. I think.
Yeah.
And they're right here in town, and they work together. In fact, they wanted to do the book. I was thinking Rick, and then he said, I want to work with Eric, and they want to do it together, and then they really know what they're talking about.
Wow. Well, it sounds like it'd be interesting. I know Eric did the book with Rick Pitino, and certainly that would be a good seller.
And I think that Rick brings this, they both do, but Rick especially has this vision of where Louisville fits into all the cosmic world of college basketball, mm-hmm. and what's neat about college basketball. And I just think that it can be a real something to read that's really interesting.
Yeah, and that's the thing about this Derby book. Just going back to that, I saw that it's not just you writing it. There's a lot of famous writers. I know Billy Reid, who I read when I was growing up and all that.
Joe Drape from the New York Times. Just people that know something. I asked Kirby Adams to write about the celebrities because God knows I don't want to ever be close to one, you know. And she writes about it all the time. And so I got her to do it.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you know, that's really cool because you know I guess the book encompasses that aspect of the race in addition to the horses and who wins and all that stuff. So, so I imagine you've experienced the Derby. When was your first?
My first was 1963. Okay, my father took my sister and I to the Derby. When
Let
we
me
were
impress you.
Kids.
I'm not looking at anything. Decidedly.
One off. That's 62. You're good, though. That's
Shadowgate.
Shadowgate is correct. Yeah. That is correct. And the next year, I didn't go. And I was still just a kid. And then in 65, I went with some of my friends from Atherton High School, and we went. I've been to every Derby since.
Wow.
52 in a row.
That's really amazing.
It is amazing to me, too.
Now, a lot of them on press passes, I'm sure, but you've probably gone a variety of different ones.
I was in the infield for a long time, put in my days over there. I'll bet you did, too.
I went to the infield from my senior year in high school, 1978, and then I worked 2 years as a busboy, and I went to 9 in a row, and I stopped going on the perfect year to stop going. You remember how cold and rainy it was when Sunday Silence won?
Yes, it was cold.
I watched it from a beach in South Carolina. I'm glad I stopped.
So, but, you know, you did watch it, so you you never let go of the thing, you know.
No, I've only been outside of Louisville twice during the Derby in my lifetime. I'm 55, so there you go. Do you have a favorite when you look back?
I have several. Recent times, I mean, I everybody have to admire Pharaoh, mm-hmm. and he's such a great story and a wonderful horse. I loved Barbaro. I think he would have easily won the Triple Crown, and he, you know, is injured himself,
sure,
more than anything else, and took himself away from it and didn't survive. But he was a great horse. He smoked the field, and we got the video. This is the shortest one in the book. It's only about 60 seconds.
Really?
It's him swooping the field, coming to home, and opening up big, and just like, I am the boss of all of this.
So,
Sunday
okay.
Silence was another one of my favorites.
Yeah, that was something I wasn't there for. They're all fun. You know, there's a lot of changes over there. You know, if you were spending years in the infield, you had to be going back when it was really wild, and therefore they had all the buildings and concrete, and it was grass.
Mm-hmm.
It was crazy.
I think I predate even the wildness because I was going when I was in, you know, junior high, and mm-hmm. We got to college and, you know, our hair got longer and down to here, down to there, down to where it stops by itself. And it was really fun.
Yeah, you probably remember streaking, I'm sure. So it's all fun, though, and the whole experience is fun. And have you had a lot of let's talk a little bit about Derby Week, because the week leading up to the race, that's where you sort of have a long time to study the horses, right?
My thing is, Derby Week, I devote to, you know, doing talks and, you know, blabbing around and being on a TV show or something like that. I've already done most of my work by a week before the Derby.
Okay.
I like to get out there and see the horses work. And they make their last, you know, a work being an exercise at speed to prepare for the Derby. And they make their last Derby prep works about a week before the Derby. So, like, that weekend, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, all the Derby horses that are on the grounds, and some will come in later, but all the ones that are on the ground are out there zipping around 5 furlongs and, you know, 4 furlongs. Yeah. And I got my watch going, and, you know, that's me right there.
Well, I mean, it's great for fans, too, to go to the backside and dawn at the downs, all that. I go every year at least once. It's just it just gets you excited. I'm getting excited talking about it right here with you. So
people love horses, and they love it that it's our sport.
You know? Exactly.
And it's our springtime. It's pretty day to day, and it's, you know, even when it rains, it's nice.
I know. Even if you don't ever want to, but like, go to another town on Derby Day, and you figure out it's not that big a deal anywhere else,
right?
But here, it controls everything. So anyway, Bill, we got to wrap it up here, but I appreciate you coming by, and Shercliffe folks gave me one of the books, so I love it. It's a fascinating thing to watch and share with people. So great work on that. And
thanks, Rick.
I guess now it's you're into preparation. It's what, 3 weeks?
Three weeks from Saturday's the Arkansas Derby. 3 weeks from that will be the Kentucky Derby.
Okay. And we'll be looking. Where can we find out? Because I want to hold you to it. Where are you going to write the story of your winner's prediction?
I sort of reserved my pick for the week, the Wednesday of Derby Week, to run in Leo with a headline. So I'm bound, you know, and I can be wrong and right, and I've been both. And but I let work, you know, Wellspring Derby preview party 10 days before. I'm usually touting and working hard there.
Okay. Well, we'll look for you out there, I guess, on the Riders Derby Trail and all the big events leading up to the big race. And appreciate you being on the Rusty Satellite Show.
Okay. Well, thanks, Rick. It's great. And it's a fun little studio, fun to do.
And thank you again to Bill Doolittle for coming by the studios here in St. Matthews and talking to me about his new book, The Kentucky Derby, and about this year's Kentucky Derby. Exaggerate. Remember that name as you start watching the names of the horses for this this year's Kentucky Derby. We're going to have some other Derby-oriented guests in the next couple of weeks. It's going to be really great here on the Rusty Satellite Show. More of the most interesting people in the Ville coming up. Also enjoyed talking with Chasta Farrell of Mint Julep Tours. Thank her for coming by. My producer here is Dan Vonderhyde. Jason Smith helps me with with my technology. Jackie Bentley posts stories on LouisvilleKY.com. And a big thank you to my photographer, Bill Breimer, and our sponsors. The sponsors of the Rusty Satellite Show are Passport Health Plan, the Eye Care Institute, and Ballantine Chocolate Whiskey. Appreciate all those folks helping make this show possible, and I am looking forward to getting together with you again next week for another episode of the Rusty Satellite Show.
Thanks for listening to the Rusty Satellite Podcast with your host, Rick Redding. Next week, Rick will be right back here on Louisville.am with another stellar lineup of great guests. You can let Rick know what you think by sending an email to rick@louisvilleky.com. He's on Twitter, too, @RickyRedding. For more information about the show, including photos of Rusty Satellite Show guests, go to LouisvilleKY.com, the pulse of the city.